Good morning. My name is Linda, and this is my church. I welcome this opportunity to speak to you this morning about my faith and about how God works in my life. I'm one of those people that can say that the start of my faith journey came from a specific event. And that event was the death of my mother. She had been ill most of her adult life. She had had a triple bypass and it was failing. And the doctors wanted her to have a new procedure, but she needed to go to New York City. So this is how it was supposed to work. On Monday morning, they did all the procedures, and then by the afternoon, you moved into the recovery room, and then later that day, or perhaps the next morning, they moved you back into a regular hospital room. Well, it was already Wednesday, and it was not going well, and she was not out of recovery. So by Wednesday evening, the doctor said, "Go. I think she's getting better. Go, and when you come back tomorrow, she'll be in a regular hospital room." So I went back across the river, and as I got back, the phone was ringing, and it was the hospital. The doctor calling, he asked for permission to go in and operate again. But in the background, I could hear the alarms going off on the monitors. And I knew that was my mother because she was the only one left in recovery. So we went back into the city, and it was February. It was cold and it was rainy. As I walked into the lobby, I saw the doctor, but he was off to the side and didn't come by. And some of the staff came to me and said, "You need to go up to the waiting room." So I went up there, and the doctor came in, and he said, "We tried everything we could, but she didn't make it. I'm sorry for your loss." He said, "Please wait here, and the hospital staff will come and speak with you." Well, I'm a retired military officer, and a lot of our training involves having another option, being ready to do something differently if something doesn't work out the way you want it to. And in my pocket, I had my mother's address book with all of her phone numbers. And then in there was the phone number of our funeral home back in the Midwest where my mother, several years before, had made all of the arrangements. So I called the funeral home. It was late, it was probably about 11 now, but they answered right away. And they said, "We're sorry for your loss. What hospital is your mother in?" And I said, "She's in Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan." And she said, "We have contacts. We'll check on what they are. I'll call you back so you will be able to contact somebody who will work with our funeral." I said, "Fine." So she called me back, and she was in tears. And she said, "I'm so sorry, but we don't have any contacts in New York City. We've never had anyone die and want to come back to the Midwest." So I said, "Don't worry. The hospital staff is coming to speak with me. I'm sure they will help me." So here comes the hospital staff. There were three of them. I called them the suits. They were impeccably dressed. And they said, "Sorry for your loss. We need to take you upstairs to our administrative offices." And I said, "Okay." So I got on the elevator. And as I was going up to the umpteenth floor, I thought to myself, "They're not going to let me go home until I make some arrangements for my mother." So the doors opened on the elevator and into this huge office. Desks lined up all in a row and all dark. And we walked across to another smaller office that was a light on and a lady was working in there. The suits turned me over to this lady and they left. She said, sit down. You must make arrangements for your mother's body before you leave the hospital. And I said, I understand. But my family's from the Midwest and I'm not from these parts. So I was hoping that you'd be able to recommend a funeral. And she said, I'm sorry, but we couldn't possibly do that. It's against hospital policy to make any recommendations. And she turned around and she handed me the yellow pages. Now, Manhattan's yellow pages are about this thick, and there's two books. And she said, there's a phone you can use, and she left. So I sat there, and by now it's close to 2 in the morning. And I said to myself, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? And I didn't realize it at the time, but I believe that is the first real, genuine prayer I have ever said in my life. And as I sat there, something changed. The atmosphere, something. I could hear my heartbeat. I was aware of every breath going in and out. And as I turned my head and looked out the door into that big, vast office of darkness, the far side, a light clicked on. And then a chair pushed back, and someone walked towards me. And into that room walked a quite elderly woman. And she came up to me, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, I'm so sorry for the loss of your dear mother. How did she know my mother was dear? And she handed me a piece of paper and said, on this piece of paper are listed 3 funeral homes with phone numbers. And any one of those funeral homes will treat your mother with the respect that you would want her to be treated with. And she turned around and started for the door. She turned again and she looked at me. And she said, be sure to call all 3 of them, because they're going to want to call and charge different prices. Smiled, went out the door. She wasn't there when I left. This experience for me, I wanted to learn where that help came from. I wanted to know who sent me that help. And I felt as if I was pushed off a cliff and fell onto a path that led me to that door, to St. Christopher's, my church. And I started attending church regularly, and I would sit in the pew and the plate would come around and I would throw a few dollars in, thinking I was doing my part. I knew nothing about how the church worked or ran. And I saw people put in little white envelopes, remember those? Little Wyombos, I didn't know what they were. But that fall, we had a stewardship dinner in the parish hall, and it was a festive occasion. And the speaker came from Rochester, New York. He was the Bishop of Rochester. And he was a very entertaining speaker. He talked about all of our spiritual gifts and how we needed to give back. And he talked about the church and how it was a business and how the church needed to know how much money you were going to have every year. And then he said, it's like if your boss tells you, I'm going to pay you next year, but I can't tell you exactly how much you're going to pay me. We'll just figure it out as we go along. And that made a lot of sense to me. So I signed up first pledge card and continued to pledge every year, trying and succeeding in increasing our pledge every year. But then came the recession, and the bills started piling up, and I started to wonder if perhaps I should rethink this giving process. But then the Spirit came and whispered in my ear and said, "Have you ever really not been able to do what you wanted to do?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Has your checkbook balance ever been zero?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I've always taken care of you. So what's the problem?" So that year, we didn't decrease our pledge. In fact, we increased it. And the next year, the blessings just fell from the sky on our family as God's grace washed over us. I want to thank you for listening to me this morning. I want to ask you, when you go home, locate that letter that the vestry sent last week and read it again. And then prayerfully consider your contribution to St. Christopher's, your church.
And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So today we hear the familiar parable of the persistent widow. And at first glance, the meaning seems obvious. Keep praying persistently until you get God's attention, and with patience, you get what you ask for. Jesus tells parables to teach us about God and his relationship with us. And God is usually in the parable. So God can't be the judge here. And really, we can't even compare God to the judge at all, I don't really think. In order to get a handle on this parable, I don't think it's about bothering God over and over and over again. I think you gotta turn the story upside down. Who else is in this parable? It's the widow. Could she be God in this story? God is in the face of the poor and the needy and disenfranchised. And God is persistent in advocating for justice for all people. According to Jewish law, widows were second-class citizens. A woman who'd lost her husband either by divorce or death was left penniless, not much better than a common beggar, totally at the mercy of charity from others, at the fringes of society. And as to the role of this judge in the story, far from being God, he portrays, I think, the political establishment, the powerful elite. Could be from our time as well. Like last week's story about the outcast lepers and Samaritans, today we're reminded that there's something about human beings where the majority just always tends to marginalize the minority. The strong tend to control the weak. Just a society in which everybody is treated equally just doesn't occur naturally. And herein lies the unique twist to today's parable, I think. The widow got justice only through persistence and perseverance. And we can't build a just society without persistence. Persistence and justice go hand in hand. And I think that's what Jesus was teaching. As followers of Jesus, we're commissioned by divine authority and given Christ's own power to build the kingdom of God on this earth. The kingdom of God where there are no outcasts or people on the margins, where there is a dignified and equal place for everybody at the table of life. The kingdom of God, where everyone counts. This persistent widow can be a role model for us, not just in persistence of prayer, but in working for justice for all. Today's parable teaches us that as persistent widows ourselves, we have to constantly fight our own selfish tendencies, not to allow ourselves to be co-opted by the culture of exclusion, and valiantly resist a society where the strong and the rich are the powerful and respected. Today's parable can teach us that if we keep persevering in our efforts to build a just society, like the widow in the story, we can wear down the culture of inequality and find new ways to usher in the kingdom of God. Let's be persistent widows. Nothing wrong with that. We'll never let up. until the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven. Let's make the pact to be persistent widows in that way. Amen. Short, eh?